Part C. Directions. You will hear three pieces of recorded material. Before listening to each one, you will have time to read the questions related to it. While listening, answer each question by choosing A, B, C, or D. After listening, you will have time to check your answers. You will hear each piece once only. Questions 11 to 13 are based on the following monologue about nuclear power. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 11 to 13.
The use of nuclear power to produce electricity is not merely an option but a necessity. Ever since the Industrial Revolution, our lives have depended increasingly on the use of inanimate energy. It has made possible the abolition of slavery and a great reduction of backbreaking physical labor. The work week, which used to be 70 to 80 hours, has been shortened to 40, and a far greater proportion of people can live in comfort. Especially the prosperity of the last 30 years has been built on an ample and cheap supply of oil, so that now we take this for granted. But this thriving is coming to an end. Oil will run out in the world at large before very long. It has been estimated that about 20 years from now, it will no longer be possible to satisfy the world demand for oil. Of course, from time to time, new petroleum fields are discovered. But this prediction has already taken the likelihood of such discoveries into account. Apart from hydroelectric power, which we have pretty completely exploited already, there are only two sources of energy which have been sufficiently developed to be usable in the near future: coal and nuclear. The U.S. is lucky enough to have abundant coal deposits, and clearly coal must play a large role in our future energy supply. But if all our energy were to come from coal, even these deposits, at least those which are considered recoverable, may be used up in less than 100 years. Nuclear energy serves this purpose excellently, because nuclear fuel weighs very little, it can be supplied easily. A given charge of nuclear fuel in a power plant will last about a year. Methods are known to stretch the supply of raw materials, uranium and thorium, so that the known reserves of these substances can last thousands of years. Questions 14 to 17 are based on a TV chat show about eating out. You now have 20 seconds to read questions 14 to 17.
Eating out is a general pastime in Taiwan. And because of the huge cross-section of Chinese peoples clustered here, it is one of the very best places for discovering all the different cuisines of China. From the filling, wheat-based dishes of the northern provinces, to the fiery flavors of central China, and the subtleties of Chow Chow and Cantonese food in the south, all regions are well represented. If you just stick to Chinese restaurants, you could give yourself a gourmet course in the geography of China. But there are also a number of Korean, Japanese, Thai, Indian, and European restaurants to augment the choice. Taiwan also has its own unique cuisine, which is a blend of Fujian-style cooking and Japanese influences, and focuses especially on fresh seafood. Nightlife in Taiwan is by no means confined to restaurants. Taipei, in particular, is known for its lively nightclubs, piano bars and pubs, which have earned the city a reputation as one of the hottest after-dark destinations in Asia. Taiwan's evening tradition is that of the night market. Taipei's most famous night market is Snake Alley. And if you take a stroll around this area, you'll see Taiwan at its colorful best. Anything goes at the night market. Anything goes at the night markets. Anything from freshly cooked noodles, tea, and herbal supplies to cut-price jeans and private cassettes with the occasional arts performance. This is where the Taiwanese do much of their shopping, eating, and socializing. For the visitor, it is an opportunity to see a unique example of Taiwanese life, encompassing much of its culture and many of its traditions. Questions 18 to 20 are based on the following conversation about doing business. You now have 15 seconds to read questions 18 to 20.
Well, I'm glad everything is comfortable for you at the hotel and you enjoyed the meal last night.
Oh, that was excellent.
Good, good. Well, shall we get down to business? Shall we go through the list?
We would like to place an order for 10 suites of your traditional Dragon line of furniture. That's item number 130. The price looks right, so long as you can deliver by the end of March.
I think we can do that.
This would be a trial order to see how the market is. We may want more later.
Fine, let's move on to the next item.
Our people like the Eagle line on their visit. That's number 128 in the catalogue. They would like to place a substantial order. But it's untried. They don't know how well it's going to sell. They feel your price is rather on the high side.
What size of order had you in mind?
If the price is right, we were considering an initial order of 50 complete units.
Well, in that case, our discount would be 4.5%. That would mean a unit price of around $282.
We feel that's much too high.
What figure were you thinking of?
Around the $185.
Well, that's out of the question, I'm afraid.
At the most, we would be prepared to go to $200.
This is a very high-quality product using the best materials.
The problem is the market for this particular style is very uncertain. I think you'll have problems finding buyers at the price you're asking. It's a pity, but we'll have to leave it.
I'll pass on your comments, certainly. But I can't go any lower. Perhaps we should move on to the next item.
Yes, your Swan line, item number 126. We have had reasonable success with it, and we would like to order again. For delivery no later than August.
That's okay. Last year you ordered 80 complete units. Were you thinking of the same number again or increasing slightly?
Again, this depends rather on price. You've raised your prices by $150 to $171 with discount. That's just over 13%.
That is the end of Part C.